Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
An Irish patient has had his sight partially restored after 13 years of functional blindness because of a groundbreaking new ocular therapy at the Mater Hospital. This gene therapy, which received approval for reimbursement in Ireland only last year, it has the potential to restore retinal function and vision in patients with retinal degeneration and vision loss, which was previously untreatable. And I'm joined now by Stuart Haxall from Sligo, who recently had this therapy, and also Professor David Keegan, retina specialist at the Mater University Hospital. And it's lovely to have you both with us. Thank you for being here. Stuart, I'm going to start with you because you have had this therapy. You've regained some of your sight. How incredible.
It is absolutely amazing. It's something that I never thought would ever be possible, to be honest. Before I went through and found out about this gene treatment, I had given no thought to any sort of cure to my sight loss at all. I had just wanted to find out what type of genetic condition I actually did have. So to find out that my genetic condition was compatible with this gene treatment, absolutely inconceivable that anything like this could happen.
Right, you just wanted answers. You ended up getting a treatment. So will you talk to us about your sight then and what happened over the years? So what was your sight like when you were a child?
I had a lot more sight when I was younger. I was able to use large print books and zoomed up magnification software. But over the years, it just got worse and worse until I started using speech software, which basically reads out everything for me on technology. And it had gotten so bad to the point where I could possibly maybe see a bit of light if the sun was very glary. But now, after the treatment that I received last year, I was able to read large letters that Professor Keegan held up to me. I think it was about 2 weeks after the second treatment, he held up a large print letter and I was able to read it, and I think I came out of that room shook, to be honest.
Do you know what? I'm trying to imagine what it was like to be in that room when that happened. Yeah, I'm sure you could scarcely believe it.
Honestly, no. I don't think it had really hit me that I'd actually gone through with the treatment and that it actually had made an actual impact until that moment. Mm-hmm. It didn't really land.
And has it changed your life since then? Is it that much of a difference that it has changed things?
I feel it has. I haven't gotten all my sight back, but the bit that I do have back, it's absolutely amazing. I'm able to feel like I can come into a room and get a clearer idea of what to expect coming into a room. I can't see particular details, but if I'm close to maybe, say, a big, huge table, I might get an idea that the table is in front of me, mm-hmm. but I mightn't be able to tell what's on the table.
Right, but so you had a sense coming into this studio what the room was like today.
I had a better sense, yes, of the room than I would have before mm-hmm. November last year, definitely.
Yeah, well, that's a great improvement. So, David, let's talk about the therapy and the treatment. But before we do, can we go back into that room when you showed the big letters to Stuart and he could see them? What was it like?
I was very glad to say that even doing this as long as I've been doing it, that you can still get surprised and remark with Stuart and his mum, you know, when there's a moment like that. Colleagues of mine have delivered this treatment all over the world over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. We're sort of playing catch up to some extent, and they told me about those moments. But to actually have Stuart there and doing it, not really expecting, but going through the steps to see how far his vision had improved over those couple of weeks. And it was after Stuart's second eye treatment, and it was 2 weeks after that in the second eye that we treated. The first eye took a little bit longer to catch up, so I didn't really have that expectation that 2 weeks after that treatment that he'd be able to map out letters. And Stuart was able to. And there was one moment when we showed a different letter, which actually was a J, and Stuart couldn't say it to me. And I went, maybe it's not quite as good as we thought. But talking to a colleague of mine in London who does a lot of artificial retina work, we remember a patient like Stuart who haven't had that sort of sight for that long, they sort of forget what the letter.
So you hadn't seen a J for many years.
Oh, it had been so long. I could trace it out, but I couldn't really connect it in my brain to kind of match up the shape of what I was seeing. So it was
So once you realised that, David, that it was possible he was seeing the jay but maybe couldn't identify it, you must have had a moment in that room where you thought, but this has worked. This is the result that we'd all hoped for.
It has worked. Well, the first thing you're doing that day is making sure no harm has come to Stuart's eye. Those first visits are that, because we've got to detach the retina to deliver this therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's a fairly routine operation, 90% of it, we now have to inject this fluid that's got the virus, that's got the new gene in it underneath the retina. So we've got to detach it. So make sure we've done no harm first. That's the goal.
Yeah.
So once we've confirmed that, then the next piece is, has Stuart got any function back? And because he's had such poor function for a long time, that was a little uncertain. So it was great for Stuart and for his mum. There was a bit emotional, Stuart, in the room that day. But then Stuart's got to get on with his rehabilitation, and then we've got to get on with minding Stuart's eye and make sure that's maintained. So just 2 weeks ago, then we were able to confirm in the objective measurements, you know, these very important tests for patients, that objectively, as well as what Stuart had seen subjectively, that there's been an improvement in how his retina works.
So what will happen now for Stuart? Will you see further improvements, or do you reach a level and you wouldn't expect it to improve beyond that?
We would hope there'd be some slight further improvement. I'd say most of the improvement has happened for Stuart already. And remember, Stuart is a little older than what we would like. Ideally, we would have got Stuart when he's 4 or 5 years of age. The ideal time to treat patients with the particular condition Stuart has, which has got RPE 65 associated Leber's congenital amaurosis, the full scientific title, that type of retinal degeneration, the younger, the better.
We've had
3 children treated. Unfortunately, they had to go abroad because we hadn't had the approval, and while we were set up to do it. But that's, you know, they couldn't wait for the treatment. So it was done through a different mechanism. But now we could really nice to be able to say that it's approved in this country. We can treat patients in this country. We're all set to go at the matter to do it. The pharmacy team, the whole team is there ready to deliver that and follow on from the success that Stuart has had.
But is this quite a rare condition, or will there be many people who might be able to benefit from this in Ireland?
In Ireland, we estimate between 5 and 10 patients in the country will have this condition any one time. And maybe we'll detect another one patient every 2 or 3 years to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, it seems like it's an awful lot of work to go through to treat a few patients. But we already know there's a full raft of treatments coming down the track for more common retinal degenerations. Things like X-linked retinitis pigmentosa, another condition like achromatopsia, and Stargardt's disease that are more common. So it's important that we have this ability, we have the technology, and we have the knowledge and wherewithal in the country to do that, which we do now.
Okay, so what was the procedure like, Stuart, for you? I understand that you had to lie there and pretty much not move for 24 hours.
Yes, but to be honest, the first I was a bit nervous, because even though I had met with David to kind of go over what exactly to expect, I was a bit nervous because I'd never gone into a surgery that I had remembered, to be honest. So it was my first pretty much surgery. I didn't know how it would work, or how I was afraid, oh, would the anesthetic work, or would, like, things that obviously
normal,
like 100%
fears
would work.
Yeah.
But it was difficult. The recovery was tricky enough because I had to lie flat and prone for 24 hours to allow the retina to reattach properly. And that was tricky, but I honestly, I'm so glad that everything went so well.
Mm-hmm. It was worth it.
It was worth it, even though it was difficult at points. It definitely was worth
mm-hmm.
it.
Just explain to us that procedure and how it works, David. In layman's terms, if you can.
What Stuart had was an operation called a vitrectomy, mm-hmm. where we removed the jelly inside the eye. That's behind our lens. And that then gives us access to Stuart's retina. And the drug itself comes in a very clear vial. And we have to inject that with a very small needle underneath the retina. And that's how we deliver it. We've got special equipment to track all that in the operating room at the time to make sure we're putting it in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've done that, then we're comfortable we have that. And then we put a little air bubble inside the eye The operation takes about 45 minutes. It doesn't take that long. And then Stuart has to recover on his back. That's why he had to lie very still for 24 hours.
No moving for 24 hours because you need that retina to reattach. Is that what's going on?
Reattach. And then the new gene is delivered in a virus, a safe virus called an adenovirus. And that's got to infect the cells where the new gene has to go. So in those 24 hours, that virus is infecting the cells, transferring that new genetic information out of the virus into Stuart cells to start making the correct enzyme. That's the fundamental problem.
It's
there. There's an enzyme we need that recycles this protein for us so we can see. Mm-hmm. There's a full recycling mechanism in there, and that's where the deficiency is. So it's just sort of rebooting the system with the new enzyme.
It's incredible. And how are you finding the other Stuarts in the country?
Well, that's tribute to the, we call it the Target 5000 program for rare inherited retinal diseases. So we set up a full program. This goes back to 2010 when we sort of really started this initiative to identify all patients in the country with inherited retinal degeneration. So Fighting Blindness underwrote that initially a research initiative, mm-hmm. But then we've grown it into a clinical program. So we've got a full clinical genetics team now that oversees this. Now we're putting a national registry together so we can better identify and mind and then manage patients. So like I said, we've about 200 patients now on that register who'd be suitable for late phase clinical trials. But also means even if you don't get them onto clinical trials, they'll be suitable when those new drugs become available. So now we've identified probably 85% of all the patients in the country with inherited retinal degenerations have been identified, and we're getting diagnoses to these patients. So addressing that initial thing that Stuart came in for was, what's wrong with me? Why do my eyes work this way? We're resolving that for many, many patients in mm-hmm. the country.
So this is the start, like, really, isn't it?
This is the start. This is the start of the precision medicine era. Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, Stuart, it's a start for you as well, because I'd imagine your life has changed, has it, since you had this surgery?
It has. I'm constantly trying to figure out, what can I see now? Or I've family members asking, can you see that and see this? It's been fun trying to figure it out, what differences there are. And yeah, I'm looking forward to keep trying over 2025 to see how it develops.
Well, we wish you well. And it's an incredible story and so good to meet you. David, thanks as well to you for coming in and telling us about it. And I hope that so many more people now can benefit from this as we progress. Stuart Haxel, thanks very much for being with us. And Professor David Keegan, back after this break.